Good evening to everyone. It's good to be able to be back in the Lord's house tonight, isn't it? I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your faithfulness this week. It has been a real joy. I might take a minute or two here before I get into the message tonight to say a few words. You can be opening your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be there real shortly. We won't tarry. Time will not permit me to say all that I would like to say. So, in the words of Paul as he spoke to the Philippian church, penned his letter to them, he said in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, in part, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, in every prayer for you, for your fellowship in the gospel. And those words are true for me, for you folks here at Forbush. Rosalie and I love you dearly. And I love Brother Justin. It's been such a joy to be here. Got to make some new acquaintances and such a joy to be able to do that. As I told several, as I was milling around before the start of the service, you'll never know how much you mean to Rosalie and me, and how special you are to us, and what a special place you hold in our heart. I'm glad that God has sent you, Brother Justin, and I want to encourage you to pray for him and give him your undivided support. I think you have a bright future in front of you. I really do believe that. I know that you've been through a lot over the years. I know that you've lost many. Since I first became acquainted with this congregation back in 2011, I have said often that I don't know of any church, while I've not been here for the last 3.5 years, I don't know of any church that has been touched anymore than this congregation has. And believe you me, I've prayed for you many times, and I still pray for you. Along the way, God has used Brother Ray Davis, and he used Brother Grady Trivett here, and he used me to kind of provide help to you in navigating through some turbulent times as a congregation. Today, I hear a lot of good things about what's going on here at Forbush, and that excites me. I'm happy about that. I see good things happening. I see new faces being here. I've had the privilege of meeting some new folks, and I absolutely love this technology. It's not on yet, but y'all gonna have it on in a few minutes. Look at there, they're giving me thumbs up. I love this technology, and I hope you do as well. I was thrilled to death for the folks at Cool Springs to see it in operation last night. Because I've been trying to get the point across over there that we need it. I'm just so thankful to see it in use here, and Justin has been so great. He's helped me this week to, he's been the person that's put it all together once I give him the information. And Brother Justin, thank you so much for that. And I'm going to have to get him to teach me some more lessons down the road on the use of technology. So God has sent you, Brother Justin, and, you know, thinking back, I was thinking about this earlier, that I mentioned Ray and Grady and myself. We were kind of like the group that would be identified with Moses and Aaron, I guess, with the children of Israel, getting them through some of the hard places. And then God had Joshua in mind. Justin is the man. He's the man. And to lead you to new heights in the Lord. And so I want to encourage you tonight in this final opportunity that I have in this series of services to be with you, to go forward as He leads you and enjoy the fruit of God's blessings along the way. And I look forward to hearing many, many good things from you in the future. Tonight I want to speak to you from Hebrews chapter 13 on the subject of live the rest of your life well. Live the rest of your life well. I'm going to skip through portions of chapter 13 in Hebrews. We will look at verses 1 through 5 to begin with. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he saith that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 9. Be not carried away or about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Finally, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let's pray together. Father, we ask your blessings upon the few remaining minutes that we have to be able to share together that are a part of this revival series. And I pray that you will warm our hearts. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct every word that is spoken, every thought that is presented. I pray that we as a people will be guided by you as we go forward from this place tonight. And we'll thank you for all that you do. This we humbly ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Often think about the statement that someone coined. I don't know who did it. I've heard several preachers use it. I've used it before. It goes something like this. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. The first day of the rest of your life. If the Lord enables us to see the sun rise in the morning, it will be the first day of the rest of our life. I want us to use each and every day that God gives us to its fullest. I think, not only do I think, but I believe fully that all of us desire to get the most out of life. Each and every day that God gives us, we want to get the most out of it. Unfortunately, the most is sometimes defined through the eyes of the world rather than through the eyes of God. That's sad whenever that happens. As a result of it being defined through the eyes of the world rather than the eyes of God, I would submit unto us that there's a lot of unrest and there's a lack of fulfillment in the lives of many people this day and time. I've been very blessed over the years to experience a lot of wonderful things. I've been blessed to attend some outstanding seminars and some training sessions. They have meant so much to me. Formerly, whenever I was with Duke Energy, I had enormous opportunities. Since leaving and retiring from there in 2003, God has continued to open doors of opportunities to me that have been tremendous, that have helped me in my own personal growth. One of those that I attended some time back focused on what a well-lived minister's life should include. And that really meant something to me. There were some very, very important topics that were selected for that particular seminar. They were well chosen topics, like, for example, personal life for a pastor, for a minister of the gospel, and how that life ought to be ordered, and how there ought to be balance in that life between the ministry and life itself. Bringing into the perspective of that as well was the topic dealing with marriage and family and what needs to be done in support of the family. Topics also included roles that we get involved in and boundaries within those roles and managing the expectations of what others have of us as we fulfill and carry out our roles in this life. Another topic that meant so much to me was remaining competent as a leader and maintaining a healthy fulfilling of God's call upon my life. That, my beloved, is very, very important to me, that I maintain the right perspective and have a spiritually healthy fulfilling of God's call as long as I am able to do so in this walk of life. Former CPA that I had down in Statesville, I may have said this whenever I was here, don't remember, but one day he was talking to me and he said, "Joe, when do you plan to retire?" And I didn't have to think about that. I just instantly said, "Never." And whenever I said that, he looked at me and he said, "I would have expected that from you. I would have expected that from you. I want to keep going, and I want to keep going for the Lord as long as health will enable me to do it. I want to live the rest of my life well." I'm sure you all agree with me to that end. Each of these areas that I mentioned are important for all of us. They were important for me. They're important for all of us. But as I have reflected on that experience, I found myself being challenged by a question. And that question came to me in this fashion: how can I help people grasp a practical understanding of what a well-lived life for them should include? How can I help? And God has spoke to my heart. There are things that I keep adding along the way. And in this, the final service, I want to leave some of those thoughts with you tonight, and I hope they will help you to live the rest of your life well. So here's a few suggestions that I want to offer you. Hopefully you will find them to have much more value than what the world sometimes says to us. As far as the world is concerned, their view of it is live, love, leave. That's it. Live, love, leave. But there's more to it than that. I suggest that there's a whole lot more to it than that for all of us who really, as believers in the body of Christ, want to live the rest of our life well, because we realize that today is the first day of the rest of what we might be able to do for Him. So in my suggestions, if you're taking notes, I'll try to go slow enough for you to write a few things down, and if I stumble along the way, you forgive me, and if you need some help after the service, I'll try to do that. But number one, live each day you are given to the fullest. Now, Satan can take that and run with it just that quick. Live it to the fullest. Sow your wild oats and let your life be lived so that you enjoy all that the world has. That's Satan's perspective on that. But I want to quickly bring us to the point of realizing that as we think about that statement that I have just made, we do not need to use Satan's mindset, nor do we need to use the mindset of this world in which we live. We need to use a scriptural mindset to how we live each day to its fullest. So, Pastor Joe, how do we do that? Well, I'm going to offer you just some very basic, practical things that you would say, hey, I knew that. You know all these things already. But I've put them in an order for you that maybe they will be a warm and fresh reminder to you about, that will help you if the sun comes up for all of us in the morning to recognize that here's a day that the Lord has given us, the first day of the rest of our life. How can we live this day well? And so, in doing that, here's my suggestions. Never think of any day that God gives you as being boring. Never think of any day God gives you as being boring. I was talking to little Beth on the phone last Saturday evening. She was over at Grandma Gregory's house. And she called me the first time and she said, "Papa, don't Grandma Gregory have the internet over here?" I said, "No, honey, Grandma don't have the internet." She said, "Well, I am bored, Papa." This day and time, it is easy for people to feel like that they get bored, right? Don't ever think of any day that God gives you as a day that is boring. Recognize each day to be a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, in accord with the scripture. Be thankful for every single day that the Lord gives you from this day forward. If you see the sun rise in the morning and the next morning, be thankful for every single day. Don't consider it as boring. Rosalie and I hold hands every single morning at our breakfast table after doing our devotion, and we thank God for giving us another day. I am grateful that God gives me additional days. Welcome the opportunities that each day offers. Welcome the opportunities that each and every day offers. Think of the words of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and live each day by faith. Here are Paul's words. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Live each God-given day by faith. Having settled the issue that we talked about last night of receiving him into your heart as the Prince of Peace, live each day he gives you by faith. Accept responsibility for your actions only. You will be accountable to God. I will be accountable to God for my actions. Accept responsibility for our actions and let other people accept their own responsibility. Don't forget what I said last evening, however, concerning the fact that from the book of Ephesians, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Live with a conscience void of offense, as is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse number 16. Paul, as he was before Felix, had these very important words to say in verse 16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. That means to be able to end each and every day so as to be able to look toward God, toward heaven, toward the Heavenly Father, and say, I don't know of anything between me and the Lord. And to be able to look outward to one another and say, I don't know of anything between me and a brother and sister in Christ. Folks, that's how to live life well. That is how to live life well. Live the principles that are given to us here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, where we are in our text passage. Real quickly, let me give you this list. Display God's love toward others, verse 1. Show kindness to strangers, verse 2. Never forget those who are experiencing bondage and adversity, verse 3. Remember marriage to be God's special blessing for one man and one woman, verse number 4. Do not be jealous of others. Be content with God's blessings upon you. Verse 5, pray for those who provide spiritual guidance. Verse 7, verse 17, and exercise spiritual discernment through the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. Verse number 9. That's a great list. I know I gave it to you fast. Unless you were doing shorthand, you probably didn't keep up with that. There's a whole lot there to consider. Let me give it to you again. It's just that important. Display God's love to others, verse 1. Show kindness to strangers, verse 2. Never forget those who are experiencing bondage and adversity in your midst, verse 3. Remember marriage to be very special, to be God's special blessing for one man and one woman to experience. Verse 4. Do not be jealous of others. We live in a world where there's too much of that. Be content with God's blessings that He has blessed you with. It may be just a little cottage down by the side of the road, but if it is, let it be your castle that God has blessed you with, and be appreciative for that particular blessing. Verse 5, pray for those that provide spiritual guidance. Pray for me. Pray for your pastor, Brother Justin. Pray for this dear pastor right here. Pray for Brother Grady as we all continue in ministry to be used of the Lord and to hopefully challenge hearts of people and encourage them along life's way, verses 7 and 17. By the way, obey them that have the rule over you, verse 17. Those words, have the rule over you, can be combined to simply say this: obey them that guide you. Obey them that are trying to show you the way that is right. Listen to them. Pay attention to them. Why is that so important? It is so important in the last part of that verse. They are watching for your soul, knowing that they must give an account, that they do it with joy and not with grief. They want it to be profitable to you. It would be unprofitable if they did it with grief. If we did what we do because we're just doing it and we're going through the motion, but our heart's not in it, it's not going to be profitable to you. I say this for God's glory. I have put my heart into this revival. It has been my passion, these five services. God has blessed me immensely, and I hope God has blessed you more than me. The second thing that I share with you is have a sense of purpose and direction. To live the rest of your life well, have a sense of purpose and direction. Here's what I mean by that. Develop a Christ-centered vision for yourself and let it guide you the rest of your life, every day that you live. Here's what I've learned through life up to this point. If you don't know your purpose and you don't know your direction, others are going to do their best to define it for you. They know what you need to do, and they'll tell you right quick that they know what you need to do. One Sunday morning several years ago, I was in between pastorates, and I was asked to fill in at a church, and I preached that morning. God blessed, and I came down out of the pulpit. We had the invitation. We had the benediction, and I started to walk down the aisle, and someone walked up to me and looked me straight in the face and said, "You know what you need to do?" I said, "What?" They said, "You need to quit your job and go to preaching." I said, "Well, I tell you what I'd do. If God would give me the liberty to do that, I'd be glad to do it, but he hadn't, and until he does, I won't." That was the end of that. You see, I had someone else that was wanting to define my purpose and my direction. God called me in those early years to be a bivocational pastor, to work and to preach. And that's exactly what I did until God said, "Now I'm ready for you to move out of the vocational work and work for me full time." And boy, it's been quite a journey, a wonderful journey. And you know what? I want to say a word of great, great thanks to you wonderful people here at Forbush because you gave me my first opportunity to be a full-time pastor. And you will always hold that special place in my heart. God used you to let me do that. I will be forever grateful. Know what your God-directed priorities are. Know what your priorities are for your home, marriage, and family. There are several scriptures over in the Old Testament, but the one that I'm going to use comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 9. And here are the words: "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun." Make it a priority. Make your career a priority while you are able to make your career a priority. Look at verse 10. Of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And so, while you are able to work, do it. Whatever your career is, put your heart into it. For 36 plus years, I put my heart into being the best employee for Duke Power that became Duke Energy that I could possibly be. And God rewarded and rewarded and rewarded and blessed tremendously. Because while I did that for my company, I also put my heart in to the bivocational pastorate. I knew that was God's direction for my life. I now know that God's direction for my life is to continue doing what I'm doing through His church, to love His church, to support His church, to pastor His church, and to challenge the people within His church. That is my priority now. I hope the church will be your priority, and I hope that you will recognize the scriptural importance of it being your priority, as is given to us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25, which read as follows: Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other, beloved. We need each other. We need to meet together. We need to worship together. We need to worship our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us. In order to live the rest of your life well, make home, your work, and your church top priorities in your life. Do not be cast in someone else's mold. Don't let somebody else cast you in their mold. Ask yourself, who tells me who I am? I hope you understand the point that I'm making here, and I really, really want to make it in an humble way. I don't want you to take this meaning that you need to be an arrogant person. That's not it. We need to be humble before God. But we do not need to allow ourselves to be cast in somebody else's mold. God taught me a lesson. I may have said this to you whenever I was here as pastor. If so, forgive me for repeating again, as I've already said. Very early in the ministry, after the Lord called me and I started out preaching, I had grown up in an environment where the style of preaching was different than the style you've seen this week. I grew up with that style of preaching where the preacher got red in the face. He preached as long as he could stand it without taking a breath, and then he went, and he went again. And he was all over the place, from the left to the right and everywhere else. And whenever I started out preaching, I thought, that's what you got to do, Joe. If you're going to preach, you got to be like that. And one day, how thankful I am for that day, I heard that still small voice of the Lord just as clear as anybody has ever spoken to me in my life audibly. He said, Joe, I did not call you to be like somebody else. I called you to be you, and I want you to be you. Don't cast yourself in somebody else's mold. As a result of that, as you folks know me well, my style of preaching and presentation is exactly what you have seen this week and what you know me to present whenever I was here with you as pastor. That's the mold that the Lord has cast for me. Not somebody else's mold. Not to be like another preacher, but to be like me, the way God wants me to be. I thought my mannerisms in those early days had to be like those that I'd grown up around. But God showed me different, and I'm grateful. Someone properly said, have no idea who said this. I picked the quote up sometime back. Author is unknown, but I quote what this person said. It is who we are, not what we do, that is God's gift to us. God gifts all of us differently. His mold for each and every one of us is different. In order to live your life well, live it within the mold that God has cast for you. Amen. And you'll be happy that you did. Know who you follow and know why you're following. Number three, and I've got to hurry, time's about gone. Have a servant attitude and spirit. Have a servant attitude and spirit. Life is not all about me. Life is not all about you, singularly and individually. Think often of those who have preceded us in serving. David served his generation, the Bible tells us. Paul called himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Greek text, that word servant there means that Paul considered himself to be a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ, literally. He knew that he was bound to share the gospel and to go forward. I'm not going to turn and read it in the interest of time. It will be on the screen. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Jesus taught his disciples service before self. And through his word, he teaches us service before self. To live the rest of our life well, let's have a servant attitude and a servant spirit. Number four, maintain spiritual vitality. To live life well, maintain spiritual vitality. The word vitality involves the power to endure and continue. That's the emphasis in my choice of that word, to continue, to persevere, to endure. You say, well, Pastor Joe, how in the world can that be done? It is so hard. Believe you me, it is hard. And for some, maybe here in this building tonight, I suspect that it's much harder than for the rest of us. Believe you me, I think of you. Your pastor thinks of you. But know, beloved friends, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that the true source of power is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew that. He understood that. In his sermon at Mars Hill, he said simply these words, "For in him we live and move and have our being." We can't make it without him, beloved. No one can make it without him. Times are hard. They are difficult. The way is very, very treacherous. Remain connected with your salvation experience. And if you have a call of God upon your life, reflect upon it often. I am grateful for my salvation experience, and often I reconnect with that experience. I am grateful for my call into the ministry, and quite often, in a time whenever I want to become a little bit lackadaisical, I have to get back in touch with that call and remember what God spoke to my heart about August the 3rd, 1973. Whenever his hand was up on me and I was standing there, as I've told you before, holding the back of the bench, and my knuckles were turning white. But I knew God had my number. I knew he had it. I shudder tonight to think what life for Rosalie and me would have been like if I had have said no that night. I have rejoiced and rejoiced and rejoiced, and she has along with me. We were talking about it earlier today. And she said, you know, honey, we've been so blessed. We sure have been through some hard times. It's been tough. When I go through those tough times, I have to reconnect with my call. With knowing Jesus as my personal Savior. So I want to challenge you to remember some very, very basic and simple principles. Live your testimony well. Practice what you preach. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that you want in life will be added unto you if you'll make that your priority. And so I'm going to close with my final words to you tonight. Words that I've thought about, meditated upon, asked the Lord to give me to be able to say to you, because you are so dear to me and so dear to Rosalie. We may never have the privilege to be together like we are right now and like we've been for the last 5 services now. This one's almost history. So I want to say to you once again, live your life well and finish well. Stay on track. Fight the good fight of faith. Strive to be able to say the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, as he was nearing the end of his earthly life. Oh, so powerful are these words. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, my dear precious friends here at Forbush, let's sail onward with Jesus at the helm of our boat. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. That's the way to live the rest of our life well. Father, this has been an awesome privilege. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for the privilege to be with Brother Justin and these special people. Please bless them. May your peace be a part of their lives each and every day and all of their future. Guide them to new heights. Help us to press on. May we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and do it together in our respective places, all for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen.